Breakfast puppies?
Welcome, adventurers! Grab your dice bags, sharpen your axes, and hop into the meat grinder. It's time for Hammer Crawl!
White hot tails going straight in jagged ways. Raucous thunderclap resounding through the space. Take no prisoners with a message from the mage.
I was looking up pictures of Firuza Balk, and there's an article that says Firuza Balk wants you to know that she was never actually a witch.
Lies.
Well, Firuza, we're going to change the narrative on you here.
Yeah. Again.
Again.
Not a witch, a goddess.
I'm saving my money. I want a goddamn gun.
I purchased myself a grappling hook, a week's worth of dried rations, and a bastard sword, and I still have 51 gold pieces left. So
after your shopping trip, do any of you have special items that you want to talk about? It might be important for the rest of the group to know that mm-hmm. you have acquired certain cool items above and beyond your normal character sheet. Because remember, you go back to town, your initial starting gear, the stuff that is like physically printed on your sheet, all that refreshes. So, you know, if you went into the dungeon and your armor got destroyed, guess what? When you come back to town, you get new armor and that kind of stuff, or you're out of torches.
Yeah.
That is at least one cool thing that I don't want to punish people for.
Okay.
However, anything that you spent money on is extra, and that does not replenish when you come back to town. Mm. You might have to buy it over and over again. So is there anything really cool that you bought, Poppy?
So Dragu the Vengeful, a.k.a. Dr. Ogg, he purchased himself a grappling hook, a week's worth of dried rations, and a bastard sword. So now, since I'm an elf, I can use two weapons at once.
You can, but I need to know about that sword's parentage.
It's a bastard. Fuck you. Just don't ask.
That's rude.
That's a really nice answer.
Well, if a sword is going to tell me that it's a bastard, it's got a story to tell.
Its name is Chad, and his mom is a dancer, and just the rest is none of your business.
I can drink to that.
Yeah.
Chad. Drink to Chad.
To Chad.
To Chad. Oh.
Don't let us down, Chad.
I have a cousin, Chad.
I have a coworker, Chad.
How many gold pieces would it be to get this cape that I have embroidered with Trippy's face on it?
Ooh. Oh, I love you so much.
Honestly, the cost of services is pretty cheap, so I'm just going to kind of eyeball it. If you've got 25 gold, congratulations.
Deal.
During your town trip, you now have a vampire cloak.
I got really attached
face.
To this cloak.
I need to know what colors, how is it embroidered? So are we going like Mardi Gras colors here? Are we going Hot Topic colors? Or are you going something completely?
You know, I'm seeing like autumn, like sunset colors, you know, like Trippy walking into the sunset in the cape, you know, like there's a whole like landscape on it, and it's beautiful.
So cut me off here, but this is what I'm picturing. It's a flowing meadow showing Trippy stepping off into the sunset, mm-hmm. and he's walking away from the viewer.
Yeah,
but he stops and he's turned and looking back.
There's
over
a little,
his shoulder
yeah, a
at
little
you.
Bit of a. Back turn, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's giving you like a peace sign.
No, it's a thumbs up.
A thumbs up.
Absolutely a thumbs up.
Oh my god.
Is he also smoking a doob?
You know, why not? Why not? You know? If we're gonna do it, let's do it right.
If you're gonna do something like this, you gotta put in a pot reference somewhere.
Yeah, okay?
Yeah. It's 1997, but I was imagining like one of those peace frog, you know, t-shirts or something.
Yeah. Yeah. In my mind, the color arrangement is the same as one of those big old blankets that has like a tiger or a unicorn on it that people sometimes oh, for hang sure. on their walls. Oh. Yes. Because oh, yeah. I remember so many people's apartments with those in the 90s.
Yeah. Like our dinosaur blanket, but with the like realistic printed tiger face.
Realistic printed tiger face.
Yeah, but it's trippy.
But it's like done in gold and silver kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's not a tiger. It's trippy.
It's really classy, guys. It's like really amazing. Classic, well done, well embroidered. I think that's a 25 gold piece as well spent.
I think that is. And I think that's actually, I'm going to give you a bonus XP for that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Honored the fallen. And I think everybody, when you show up at your next meeting at the Sleeping Cock, everybody looks at your
cloak.
I feel
like we won't return, but
yeah.
What's 99 minus classy?
I have some extra gold pieces, so I march everyone into a tattoo parlor where we are all going to get classy lower back tattoos because it is 1997.
I want mine to be flames.
Well, are they all identical?
Or yeah, it's part of the Wolves of Zeramund.
Okay.
Like initiation.
Is it like two wolves like facing away?
I have.
We're gonna cover it up.
I have.
Dr. Ogg has one.
No, like me, Poppy.
Oh,
like I have.
You have a Wolves of Zeramund tattoo.
I mean, I have a 1999 tribal lower back tattoo.
Yeah,
that I got when I was 18 in 1999.
Yeah. Okay, so like, that's
Dr. Ogg. Dr. Ogg needs a lower back tattoo.
Dear listener, if you pay us $1,000. Poppy will transform that into a Wolves of Zeramund tattoo.
No, wait. No. No, girl.
I'm like, consent.
Okay. I will. I'll tell you what.
You know what? Poppy has given away my services many times on the air.
What? What kind of services?
You have advertised things such as the Bad Dragon promotion, which doesn't exist.
That's right. Yeah. No. Here's what I'll do. If somebody gives me Poppy Beaujolais, that is my, you know, but we'll talk, you got to know how to get the money to me, it's fine. Gives me $200,000 so I can pay off my student loan. I will get a I Heart Fairuza Balk tattoo on my left butt cheek.
Yes.
Like, yes, my left butt cheek's already taken up. So
gotcha.
Okay, it's common sense.
But yeah, I think it's tribal.
He broke NPC.
Yeah, it's tribal. Like,
I almost just spat wine all over everybody.
What I really want is a Xavier Roberts signature tattoo on my butt cheek.
So speaking of butt cheeks, what's on that left cheek, Delphine?
Well, it is definitely a giant flame that's kind of encompassing. A seal that's like at midnight under the Arctic Ocean, and it's like fire and ice.
So is that seal going to be giving you a kiss from a rose?
On the grave.
Wrong seal.
It's most like engulfed in the flames. And doing like it's in between the fire and ice. Like it's symbolic of the person that lives between the fire and the ice.
Yeah.
I think a little bit of wind gust in it too.
Oh, for sure.
There's wind. More of like the flames are billowing and you can tell that there's wind.
Yes.
You know,
if we ever get fans, I'm really excited to see the artistic interpretations of Delphine's butt tattoo.
Yeah. I think what we're all getting at the tattoo shop is the holy symbol. And we're getting it like.
It's pretty simple.
We're getting it like really large on like our arm, you know, like a circa 1990s Celtic cross tattoo.
Oh, no.
Okay.
So, again, it is very, very simple. It is. Think of the female symbol.
The lady symbol.
I have it.
With the pentagram in
it. It's kind of like almost an ankh shape, but it's like, it's great.
Okay, so how much does the tattoos cost for all of us? It's a very simple design.
That's like shop minimum $50.
Yeah.
Edith, you just met these people, and they're taking you out for a tattoo. How do you feel about this?
I'm just glad to have a tattoo to match the other Celtic cross on my other arm.
I mean, I told you you would not be paid in money, but you'd be paid in life experience and love. You said. So the tattoo is an initiation of that
paid payment. In friendship.
Yeah.
Thumbs up.
Paid in friendship.
How do you spell the tattoo? How many T's does
T-A-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T
pointed out, and
the
I was
Japanese
like,
dance, girl not band. Right.
Russian.
You know,
oh,
Russian.
I'm sorry. I'm
all
sorry.
The things Russian. She said could not quite compensate for the humiliation of not having a cool tattoo. So that's why you were all going in together to get a cool tattoo. For who in the group is this their first tattoo?
This is my first tattoo.
You don't have like Faruza all over your body.
No, I show my piety in action.
This is like a brand spanking new cleric goody two shoes, and we've just ruined her.
No, I am newish cleric, but I'm middle aged. I'm not young.
True, I forgot.
So your group is gathered together once again at your favorite coffee shop, discussing your future plans. You know that there is a dungeon ahead of you. I'm just curious, aside from Dom's sudden origin story, does anybody else have a particular interest in the Tenebrous Pit of Worms? Why are the rest of you going in? Are you simply going in to support your friend, or do you also have leads on things in the pit?
I also, one of my skills is local history, so I'd like to add to Dom's local history and our local history by finding out more about
the... Were you also born near the Pit of Tenebrous
Found? I was not, but I...
Just a hospital, actually. Yeah. Kind of, you know.
normal kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I've heard that the pit has fantastic earth because of the worms, with some magical properties of the dirt. And I really want more spells, and I want to learn more about this magical dirt.
Super fertile.
One of the cool things about
Jesus, Dom.
Yes. Good. As I care about fertility.
One of the cool things about at least the hammer crawl approach to the old school gaming is that all spellcasters can learn spells through play. And being close to the nature of the elements, the deep, the wet earth.
Oh my hot. God, why am I turned
sweet,
on?
Deep, fertile.
I need a minute.
You, as a clerical practitioner of the arts, can learn spells from it.
Certified.
So, yes, that is a prime impetus for going into the Pit of Tenebrous Worms.
Is that a real word? What does it mean?
It means dark and wet, if I understand correctly.
Oh, perfect. Tenebrous?
Yeah. Tenebrous.
Dark.
But I thought it means dark and wet. Christmas tree.
Or just hot. Dark, or maybe sweet. Wet and dark.
I like it wet and dark.
Power and danger of my darkness.
Shut off from the light, dark and murky.
Ooh.
There you go.
Fuck yeah.
Murky.
Dark, gloomy, and jam. Obscure.
Ooh, I love it.
I like it swampy.
Tenebrous.
You're precious.
Oh, this is going to be a good adventure, folks.
Oh,
I'm looking forward to it. But before we begin, and our next episode will probably kick off with you delving into the pit, any final preparations, final words, final thoughts?
I am going to buy some clothes.
I think that's a good idea. I feel like we might
you
all
might be
want
cold.
Yeah, we might all want to waterproof our Doc Martens before we go into the Tenebrous pit.
Aren't they waterproof already?
I think I have some leather oil.
I'll tell you what, 5 gold each, your boots are waterproof.
Awesome.
And I'm going to use 2 more
Wait,
to buy
what's 51
some
minus 5?
Shitty, 49. Cheap, khaki clothing.
Was in there. It's 40, in the ordinary stuff. It tells you how much
six.
It is.
Oh.
The books are put away. Now we're going for my ass pool prices and $5 for really good waterproofing, which is something they had in the province of 1997.
Yeah, absolutely.
Buying anything extra will take a more extended shopping trip than I wish to go through this evening.
We got to go to the outlet malls next time.
Next time.
Oh, I can't wait.
We got to get going.
Next time.
That's
on
the
Rules
next,
of Zeremon.
That's the next town over, and it's 1998.
I do want to take a note here that we have been doing this for 3 sessions now, and I'd like to check in with you and see what your thoughts are on things. We'll kind of go around the table here and get everybody's input on your experiences thus far, anything that you want to share with people that are listening. What are your thoughts on Hammer Crawl?
I think it's great. This is the second group that I've done with you. And both times, I don't know if it's because you know funny people or it creates amusing situations, but both groups have been so much fun. And yes, there's obviously a danger of talking over each other, but I think that's only because there's so much fun to talk about.
And there's a lot of material.
Yeah.
And you're all very clearly engaged with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I love that I don't have to throw out much here. Except
yeah.
I can say some basic, oh, there's some spiders or the walls are greasy. And suddenly you just take it and run with it.
Yeah.
And 30 minutes later, I'm like, okay, let's get back to the adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like easy to kind of go off on tangents, but I think that's kind of part of the experience of Hammer Crawl.
So, Natalie, you were one of my playtesters for when I was first starting to put this together as a podcast. You were involved in a recording that, unfortunately, I wish I could release it. It was amazing. And I frequently have to stop myself from trying to crib ideas from it because they were so beautiful. I wish I could do it, but the recording, unfortunately, was before I got everything together. In.
Yeah, yeah.
But we had some online players as well, mm-hmm, and eventually I'd love to get some online people back into this. But I'm really glad that you enjoyed it, and I'm glad that you came back.
Yeah, I like that it's action-packed, it's very action-oriented, it's fast, people are dying left and right, which is, I think, hilarious when it comes to role-playing.
Totally.
Like, 'cause then you get the new characters, you get an opportunity to create something completely new. I don't feel I mean, I don't want to speak for other people, but I feel like everybody gets to be involved. It's like everybody has contributed so much, you know, and I feel like everybody's really involved.
Now, Rachel, you are someone that I have been playing with in this town for years. I remember how we met. We met through a D&D game of all things.
Yep.
Really?
You are you are one of those people that's on my list of, I have a top 10 list of players in the city of Portland. And whenever I put together a game, I think, can I invite this person? And you're on that list. It's like, can I put together a game that is approachable by someone who is not your casual gamer, who is a badass nerd, but doesn't put up bullshit? And so those are the main things. I'm like, I want to make a game that is both fun and approachable and also not offensive. Like, not just like, I don't want to be that fucking gamer bro out there running games for people. So you are my litmus test. You're part of my litmus test for, is this game going to suck?
Funny. Cool. Thank you.
What do you think so far?
I really like a lot of what Natalie said. I really think that that the fact that it is like action focused just keeps it really dynamic and really fun. I don't know how much behind the scenes you need to do to make each new setting, but it seems like it's probably still less than like your classic D&D, which is awesome, because like the more time you can just spend playing, the better, and get into that point. And I'm DMing for the first time myself right now, and the amount of work that goes into this is like absolutely staggering, which is great because I have all the time in the world for that, which is completely false. yeah,
sarcasm.
I love how quickly we can get into it. I think the group is really good too. So,
Lady Coquine, Delphine, the leader of the group.
I like that anything that comes to mind can partially be used, at least, if not all of it.
Anything could be a thing.
Anything can be a thing.
Anything
like the shrimping and like, you know, like anything like that. Like, just seems like it's creative enough. You could put it in there. I like that it could be used.
I have a fishing pole. I'm going to surround all the skeletons and get a hernia.
It's creative. It's awesome. Creative problem solving is great. Yeah. And I like that there's some rules, but in general, you can be off the cuff weird.
Now, April.
Yes.
This is all brand new for you.
Yes.
What do you think so far?
Having a good time. I don't have a lot of words. That's why I'm like, this is good.
Yeah.
You've been rocking it, man.
You've been destroying. It's awesome. And you're the first one to ever get a level of Evercrawl.
Yes. Yeah,
holy shit.
It's a miracle.
I have to say, okay, so there is a thing, and it's mechanisms in some games that this is like longer and not just about D&D, that like I have nerd tendencies, right? However, I don't game a ton because, and this will sound reverse of a hammer crawl because it is very like, and you're about to die and you're about to die and you're about to die. I'm defensive by nature. So like, it's like, and then I see that that's the character. So
it's good that you're playing the cleric.
Yeah, I know.
It's perfect.
Yeah, but if I die, I'm going to play a bruiser next. I already know. Fuck it.
Hell yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Totally.
But the trick is to... There's one of two ways that you can approach that. You can either think, oh, I'm just going to get myself killed.
Yeah.
Or I want to stick with this character as long as possible. Mm-hmm. And what tends to happen is quite the opposite of what you want.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're like, well, I want to get myself killed. And then you start putting yourself into worse and worse situations.
Live forever.
And survive in 20s.
And you live forever.
Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, well, you know, I want to kind of stick around and heal everyone nat 20, 40 points of damage. Oh, I'm dead. Well. Shit.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to play the bruiser. Yeah. I've really enjoyed this experience with you.
Oh, good.
Listening to everything and going through all the process of this thing is an absolute delight. But Serafina Labia is the iron
so
labia.
On the nose.
The iron labia.
Your stats are terrible.
Yeah, they're bad.
Except for her AC, which is incredible.
But your AC is amazing.
Yeah.
But your stats are so bad.
They are
that
bad.
This is a good example of a character that someone who has played Pathfinder, someone who has played 3rd edition D&D, 4th edition, 5th edition, whatever, would look at this character and think it is irredeemable. And yet, you have lived throughout this terrible death trap dungeon.
Yeah.
You have gained a second level before anyone else in the group.
Ever.
And your only
Hammer Crawl ever.
Your only spells are what?
And to begin with, light and resist cold.
Oh, and the banish undead thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's like a trick,
a
right?
Power.
It's not a spell.
Oh, true.
It's part of it's my amulet, basically.
Gotcha, yeah.
But for
me,
this is a good example of the classic style of play where your character is not restricted to simply their powers.
Yeah.
Well, it's how you play the character and how you utilize them in the narrative that is way more important than I have this list of 5 abilities.
And way more fun.
Well, to be clear, I don't feel like I lack creativity. I'm not very like fast or witty, but what? I mean, you give me a name like Labia and I see cloak, I can make that a vagina cloak. I can make that a whistle of whistle. That's fine. Like, I'll just keep going.
And that showcases exactly what the old style of gaming is all about. It's like you have a list of things in your character sheet and you can use those, but you need to think outside of that too.
Yeah. You can make it work.
And sometimes all it takes is a name.
Yes.
All it takes.
Who gave it to you? You gave it to me, I think, right?
I did.
Yeah, that was Natalie.
It came to me.
Natalie.
That came to me from Feruza above.
Yes.
It's like divine inspiration.
Serafina Labia.
You know, one day if we ever get listeners, we're going to
if you're out
get a message from a very confused Farooza Balk.
Oh, poor Farooza.
What the hell?
She'd love it. I just know she would fucking love it.
Poppy.
Yes.
You've been gaming with me for a while now.
We're all now.
On the air.
Yeah.
Tell me about your experiences thus far.
Well, I've been playing Hammer Crawl since its inception, really.
Yeah.
For the very first game at GameStorm, however many years ago that was. And I really think, you know, I've seen it, you know, grow and change. And there's, you sort of have two different versions of it right now. You have the sort of like in-person version and like the on-air version, which is, anyway, cut that. but I think what I really enjoy about Hammer Crawl and about gaming with you, NPC, is like it's really helped increase my confidence as a gamer. Like, I still don't really consider myself much of a gamer, which I think might be kind of funny at this point, but I don't know, but maybe 7 years just isn't quite enough cred in the gamer world. 6 years, 7 years. Through playing this, I've gotten to learn a lot about, like, even, like, just, you know, the D20 system or the D&D or Dungeon Crawl Classic system, and it's helped me... Yeah, whatever it is, right? I didn't think of myself as being particularly creative or that funny, really, like, honestly. And this has helped me kind of realize that, no, I am creative and no, I am funny. And the fact that there's this very free form kind of anything goes is really helpful for me. Like, to have you as a DM be like, yeah, cool, we're going to use that, whatever. And not be like, nah, fuck that, you know, or whatever, has actually helped really build my confidence. So thank you very much.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, the focus is on the story building and the character building and the yeah. environment building.
And the
building.
People at the table.
Yeah. Exactly. And which is, it's like...
Not the service to the system or yeah, something. Like, yeah. That's not the
which
point.
I think some people that I've gamed with get so into the mechanics and so into for the sure. system of it that yeah. I'm just like, why am I here? And in...
You so just be it, masturbating over a D&D book for yeah. a while.
Why aren't yeah. you writing a novel?
Yeah. Write your novel. Just go to something else. Have yeah. fun. But like, this is, in its essence, like a really valuable... improv game.
Absolutely.
Like, and where it's not, I mean, funniness just comes out of it, out of the weird situations.
Yeah.
And really all your job is to just kind of say yes to the things that come
yes
at
and,
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. yeah. And so in that way, it's like, it's actually a really valuable, like, long form improv game.
Well, one of the
that's
things
a great observation.
I've really loved about gaming with a group of like all female bodied folks at the table has been, because usually when we play Hammer Crawl or do any of the podcasting stuff, like, I'm usually the only like 2X chromosome at the table. and I, you know, which whatever, like, you know, I was indoctrinated into girl school, as I think most of us probably girl school versus boy school, right? Like, I was yeah. indoctrinated into girl school. And what I really like about, what I think is really interesting is this group of ladies or people and humans is like so much more crass than any other game I've played.
I'm gonna say, fuck yeah, I'm pretty crass.
It's actually been kind of fun and kind of freeing to like I think we're also being like pretty respectful and we're not being like really awful or
it's
like
mostly vagina jokes.
It's mostly vagina jokes,
which like, we have a right to.
Yeah, that's not really that offensive.
It's
to
not
me.
Offensive at all. But like, and I just feel like other games just like wouldn't go there, or if there were dudes at the table, it might like have a very different feeling.
This is weird.
Well, yeah. It's the difference between the kind of like potty humor that is like, haha, bodies are funny, versus like, haha, you're terrible or your body's gross.
Right.
Or
right.
It's just kind of like a
yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
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 I love the humor in this podcast. When I edit it, when I go back and listen through everything, I am dying. My sides hurt. I am laughing so much.
Can confirm.
We don't have that many listeners currently, but if we do, I fully expect to get some mail from some dude bros that are like, I just can't do all the vagina jokes. And I just want to be like,
I can't wait for that. Oh,
I just want to say,
I'm sorry that you
Hail
can't Farooza. Deal with
yeah,
life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm a pathetic human Farooza. Being, but this is hilarious.
Exactly. I'm sorry that 50% of the goddamn population on this planet is like weird to you. Fuck yeah. you, buddy.
Yeah, I've definitely real. Suggested it to a lot of female friends to listen to. I haven't gotten a whole lot of feedback from that yet, But people were talking about like gaming stuff at work, and I recommended this, and I just feel like that sense of like me actually wanting to suggest it obviously shows a sense of pride, and I think you guys are hilarious. I listened to it first before I suggested it, and my partner was like laughing, and I was like, okay, it's like I want to make sure that like someone else finds this funny. Like,
yeah,
I know I do, but it also like is like you said, like a confidence booster to be like, okay, someone else is finding this funny. And it's not just me and my weird sense of dirty humor, which is pretty much everything that comes out of my mouth. So
it was so fun to like hear everyone's amazing lines going back. It was great.
I really want to game with you guys again.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Like I am torn. I'm torn here between my desire as a DM to just run a complete straight by the books kind of game.
We don't go straight. Here.
Yes. I'm sorry. To run
forward.
A gaily forward kind of game.
There we go.
Which is weird because I've called people out on that myself. But also at the same time, like there's that balance between wanting to put on a good show and wanting to run a good game. And one of the problems that I've always had listening to gaming podcasts, I've either felt like they were either too focused on putting on a good show or too grounded in the minutiae of the game.
Right.
So you're listening to people discuss rules and break things down in just like excruciatingly boring ways.
Which might be some people's cake, but
for sure,
not everybody's.
I can't get into it either. I've tried so fucking many different D&D podcasts, and the list of the ones that I like is still exactly one. So
well, and I think that's why I became such a cheerleader for Hammer Crawl in the beginning, was because this was exactly the kind of game I wanted to play. As a brand new player, I wanted to run in, I wanted to roll some dice, I wanted to fight, I wanted to kill some shit, I wanted to get some loot, and I want to move on to the next thing.
Also, move the fuck on.
I don't want to stare at books for a long time.
I don't want to stare at books. I don't want to do a bunch of math. I don't give a shit about the rules. The DM should know the rules.
I feel bad when I have you look at shopping lists.
It's so little of it.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I've listened to other podcasts that are like, oh, this is a gaming podcast, but we're all trained voice actors and we're really just doing from a script, and we're not going to let you know any of the behind the scenes
stuff. it's like a line you have to walk, you know, like, because in its essence, gaming is about rules, but we also want to have fun and have other people have fun listening to us too. So I think it's like that, finding that line between that.
What I like to do with Hammer Crawl is stride that line between the rule of cool and you're going to fucking die in the next die roll kind of thing.
Absolutely. Like,
again, one might say that they are opposing viewpoints, and the rule of cool being, dear listener, if you're unfamiliar with it, it's the rule that, well, if it's cool and it's, if it's a choice between a thing that's cool and a thing that's not cool, you should go with the thing that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
However, Hammer Crawl and a lot of old school gaming is about, well, I'm going to roll the die, and if I roll low, I might die.
Mm-hmm.
So Hammer Crawl for me is about the balance between the two of those. I want to have cool shit happen, but I also want people to understand that they're going to die
at any moment.
Yeah. At any moment.
If there were like the ideal thing that I could do, I would want there to be a good chewy story. But I feel like that's like the hardest and most difficult bar for D&D podcasts to get to. So I feel like so many of them fall back on like, well, like there's one that's like something drunk dungeons or something. I don't know. And every single week the story is a one-off and the players are new and often inexperienced. And that's not interesting to listen to on a podcast. Like, so I would love something that like has this kind of dynamism, with just slightly more story, I think.
Continuity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, totally. Mm-hmm.
I fully agree with you, and I'm saddened that you have decided not to delve deeper into the black layer of the vampire count. I had written boxed text.
You kept asking us, don't you want to go back? And we're like,
we're over it. We're over ex-boyfriends.
We
Bye.
Would have delved Bye, into Felicia. The backstory of Delphine and the vampire count.
Oh my God.
Learned more about the original wolves of Zaramond. But you decided, you know what?
We're not. Not today.
Not today.
Not today, not today Satan. Go back.
Yeah. That's one of my abilities. Not today, by the Drax. Way, not today.
We can do a.
Oh, it is. Really it totally is.
Oh,
that's
awesome. Too.
That's amazing.
But simply saying that there's a story there, and the story for me is the story that you create yourselves.
Yeah.
You have created a region, a world, a timeline. You have created a group that has history, entirely improvisational, and none of you are currently employed actors, right?
I mean,
I mean,
like, well,
I,
Lady Cocaine,
once upon a time,
basically,
like,
is.
Kind of a semi-professional performer. I do make more than half my income performing. Okay, so, that checks out.
That yeah. said, there are no scripts here.
No,
none of this is on rails.
We don't get paid for this.
None of us are professional, like improv,
and
or,
I'm definitely not. Yeah. Improving on stage, yeah. That's a totally different
yeah.
type
yeah.
of performance.
This is
art.
All on the spot.
That's a different community theater performance.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
World creation. So the story's there. You got to create the story. Like Trippy, that's some story. And yeah, Trippy's going to have legacy.
Yeah.
If we ever have fans, I want to see some Trippy fan yeah. art.
I really want to see
I
some Trippy fan
I'm
art.
I'm
going to
draw
guys.
That cape. Like this, it's probably going to happen.
Can you show everyone the grave that I drew for Mowen?
Oh, yeah. There will be shots of the graves. There will be shots of Natalie's amazing mapping skills.
Here, you need the gravestone yeah, for Trippy.
You are
and
amazing.
There's
a lot of stick
there's
figures
a lot of
in this
stuff.
One.
That's amazing.
No, that's fine. Natalie.
Oh, look at the boobs on that. Amazing.
It was yeah. tat time.
Yeah.
But, we didn't go to the pit, so then I had to go to the
tat. That's amazing.
Sick tat.
I want to close this out with giving each of you once again an opportunity to tell a little bit more about yourselves as people to the listeners. And we'll start again with Lady Cocaine.
I'm a fierce femme. I'm also a power lifter Ooh. And a performer.
I understand you have a power lifting show coming up.
I do. I am very excited about this new act. I have an act partner. Her name is Alice Johnson. And we currently perform an acro duo. We're one of the only femme acro duos in this country. And we're also very different looking. So a lot of the other femmes are going to look the same. We're like kind of a large person and a small person. And we kill it. And we're doing amazing work. And it's like one of the most exciting things I'm doing in my life right now.
And
so
is that
thank you, Alice
at
Johnson.
Whoopi?
That is at Whoopi. But that is also, Whoopi is a show I produce. But it's also like around town and hopefully like we are going to be touring that in other places around the country as
Woo-hoo.
Well.
Nice.
So we will be seen and heard from. I'm also like stage managing and doing some fun performance stuff and I'm around Portland doing all that weird stuff.
My name is Rachel, as I think you probably know if you've listened this far in the podcast.
And Rachel, which characters have you played so far?
So far, well, I started with Mowen Munster, the moody teen wizard, who I loved. he was a repeatedly told unwanted child. Ursine husbandrist.
Well, there will be no more bear fucking in the coming
episodes.
Not as
much bear fucking, yeah.
No. Art critic major.
And an associate's degree in art criticism.
Oh, that was the chair.
And Mowen just left us, of course, as you know. And now I've introduced Edith Cumbersnatch, a sensitive rent-a-cop.
You have to say it like that.
Edith Cumbersnatch.
Edith Cumbersnatch.
Like, I can't do a British accent, but I totally
slightly cockney. Slightly cockney.
Outside of this game, I think that gaming in kind of all of its forms is what I think will save the world for me and for a lot of people. Because April and I were talking about this on the way up. Like I really think that that the thing that you do isn't terribly important. It's that you're continuing to make and build connections with other people.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
With openness and love. And yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My day job is operations engineer. So I'm like kind of like going really hard on that and in speaking at conferences and like doing that as much as I can. Alongside DMing my first D&D game, I will be doing a podcast of my own at some point in the next year. The podcast that I will be producing and DMing in the coming year is called Ad Astra Absurdis, To the Stars Absurdly. And it will be a science fiction skin of 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, nice.
It's so good so far. And I'm doing sort of like trial runs right now with my regular group, which includes Jerome and Gene and some other just like...
Hi, Jerome. Hi, Gene. Sorry to cut you off there. Love them. Great.
They're so wonderful. They're so good.
You better listen to our podcast.
But yeah, so that'll be coming up. I'm writing the whole story for that. It's like just such a fucking daunting task, but it's cool. Yeah, that's kind of my two big focuses in life, I think.
Right on.
So this is April, and I play Seraphina Labia, the Iron Labia. Yeah, it's been fun. I like am a middle-aged human who's very anachronistic and has a giant labia cloak.
Amazing.
It's been great. I don't have anything personally to hawk. I guess the only like what to say about myself, right?
Is this your first game?
This is kind of.
You played a one-off before.
Yeah,
I
played
right?
my one-offs a couple of times with Mike Ferreira.
Okay, yeah.
I'm actually going to start playing a game with my friend Jesse, who you don't know, a Star Trek role-playing game.
Fun.
I already picked out my character. I'm an Andorian. I'm very excited
so
by
nice.
It.
Nice.
I love Andorians.
Me too. Yeah. But a lot of people don't.
I'm Natalie, and I played Dom, or Dominion Chester Killfrogger.
I haven't heard that whole name. Right.
Who was responsible for that name?
Pretty sure
was it
you.
Me?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I think that's like
left,
yeah.
To the left. Yeah, yeah.
I know
pretty
I named
sure
Malwin.
I pretty
no...
sure it's Poppy.
Oh my god, it is my handwriting.
Yeah,
holy shit,
yeah,
I have no memory
Poppy.
Of this.
No,
Dominion
that was a good one.
Chester Killfrogger. Yeah.
My favorite name to date. I'm sorry. I love you, Seraphina Labia.
So much.
But Dominion Chester Killfrogger. I want that. So I wanted to get that on a t-shirt. Those words. Standard
Dominion
Times
Chester,
New Roman font, just down the middle, no context.
Just that.
I can make
yeah.
that happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. I don't have a much going on right now, but there is a project that I was involved in that's going to be starting getting, we're kind of getting ramped up for our third season, so to speak. It is, if you guys are into theater and horror. We do basically it's this project called Nesting. And
oh,
it's
yeah,
an,
Nesting.
It's an episodic horror theater project. It's there are
awesome.
Semi-improv elements to it. And each, they all take place in like this house where there's this entity called the Man. And we've done two seasons so far with different casts each time, but in the same house. So we are working on season 3 right now. If you want to check us out or follow us, we're on Facebook. You can check out, I think it's Nesting or Nesting PDX. The website is nestingpdx.com. Obviously we're probably not going to have something until next theater season. So maybe like next fall is what we're looking at, but we're hoping to start doing some updates and keeping people in the loop.
And it's all live. It's all theater.
It's all live. Yeah.
Cool.
It's live. It's, we do it for a month. So like 4 weekends and there's like 2 episodes on some nights. And then you come back for the second night for episodes 3 and 4. So it's like alternates each night.
It's scripted theater, improv theater, just to recap.
The first season was a little more improv. It's scripted. Definitely we have an action for each scene, but there's sometimes improv within that. But mostly it's scripted, but there is fluidity in the dialogue and the interactions. So yeah.
All right.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep us in mind. I think the third season is going to be great. We have four authors. So four different episodes written by four different people.
And we'll have links to that in the show notes. And closing this out.
Hi, I'm Poppy Beaujolais. You can hear me on some of the other Breakfast Puppies podcasts. I've been on Bikers, Dice, and Bars a handful of times as the favorite local wannabe wine snob. And I was also on the first couple series of Hammer Crawl here, The Wagon Crawl, which we recorded at Wagon Con up in the Dells this summer. And I don't really have anything to hawk. I don't really talk about my day job much on the air. I try to keep my on mic persona and my IRL persona kind of separated for, I hope, obvious reasons. But I do want to mention that I work in social justice and public health, and you know, I spent many years of my life getting myself educated up so I could go help the poor and the vulnerable here in Portland, Oregon. And if I could, if I want to hawk anything, I want to say, like, please, please, please donate your time, energy, resources to your favorite local nonprofits that help our homeless population and the.
And vote.
And please, please vote.
Please, please vote.
Please vote. Measure 107-106. Vote no.
Yes. So that's what I got.
Fucking vote.
Please vote. That's what I got.
Thanks for listening to Hammer Crawl, and we will see you next time.
See you. Ow.
And with that, we bring to a close the first full chapter of the ongoing adventures of the Wolves of Zeramund. Will Dom learn more about their origins in the next dungeon? Will Delphine ever get her stuff back from the vampire count? Stay tuned for Chapter 2 to find out as they venture forth into the Pit of Tenebrous Worms on Hammer Crawl. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Send us your feedback at breakfastpuppies.com or leave us a review on iTunes. If you want to hear more, subscribe to our feed in your favorite podcatcher or check us out at breakfastpuppies.com/hammercrawl. Check out the official game rules of the Growing World Bible on GitHub. The opening theme song is Chain Lightning by the awesome D&D metal band Gygax. Yes, that Gygax. Check them out on Bandcamp via the Creator Destructor production label. Additional background music was provided by the absolutely amazing dungeon synth artist, Erang, who you can also find on Bandcamp. Your Hammer Crawl lesson of the day is, if a strange group of adventurers at a coffee shop offers you a matching tattoo, you say yes.